Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming. And I had lesson one yesterday, and let's just say I missed some of the ladies. But I had more men than women, so. But anyway, and I thought Dwayne and Brian and Jody all did an excellent job. So, Vance is going to have our prayer this morning. Lord willing, I'll have it next Sunday. So if you have anything you want to turn in for our prayer, we'll be glad to honor that. So Vance, we'll turn it over to you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we thank you so much for this day you've given us. Dear God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for the health and ability we have to come together to study your word. Dear God, we thank you for the good day that we had yesterday. We thank you for all the good lessons and the preparations that were made before yesterday. Dear God, we thank you for the outreach and the response we had from those we were able to talk to in the community and the participation that we had from them. We pray that we will continue to have opportunities in the future to further your work in this area. Dear God, we thank you for the rain we had last night. We thank you for bringing each of us through the storm safely. We thank you for the sunshine that we get to enjoy today and the reminder that you always take care of us and are always looking out for us. Dear God, we thank you for this life you've given us on this earth. We thank you for all the many blessings that come to us through you. Dear God, we also thank you for the different times that we have tribulations or struggles. We thank you for these reminders that we need to turn to you for the comfort that you can provide us. Dear God, we thank you for the promises you've given us of things to come in the future, things to come beyond our initial or our present day thoughts and perspective. Dear God, we pray that you be with us as we continue to study your word more this morning. We thank you for Harry and for Mary and for the diligence they have in studying your word and the willingness that they have to present these lessons that have been learned over years to us. We pray that you bless our discussion together. We pray that you will open our hearts to your word, and we can learn exactly what you would have us to from each of these passages. Dear God, we thank you for the regular number that meets here. We thank you for those that might still be traveling to be here this morning. We pray that if it be your will, that they will arrive safely and we will be able to worship you together. Dear God, we thank you for all the blessings of this life, but we thank you most of all for Jesus. We thank you for everything he's done for us already. We thank you for his example. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his power over death. We thank you for the promises that he has made to us for things to come in the future. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure we'd all say amen. I'll just say, I thought we had an excellent yesterday. And for some reason, I'm not moving as fast today. But I wonder why. Okay. It's hard to realize this is August. We're going to finish our survey of 2 Corinthians. And so, if you can. This month, we're going to emphasize chapters 10 through the close, 13. That's a major section of the book or letter we're looking at. So if you can read it, it all goes together. And here was the outline for chapter 10 in the New King James Version. First, we're in a spiritual war, verses 1 through 6. And we really are, aren't we? Then the reality of Paul's authority. That would be verses 7 through 11. He had authority, didn't he? As an apostle. And then, this is the outline for the New King James. The limits of Paul's authority. Or the sphere of Paul's authority. That'll be verses 12 through 18. I sort of like the outline a little better in the Word Bible commentary. And so they had meekness and gentleness. I like that. Verses 1 through 6. His true authority. Again, verses 7 through 11. And then I like divine commendation. The rest of the chapter, verses 12 through 18. So let me read the chapter. Looking ahead, I'm going to let you hopefully speak today. I spoke last week. But I'm going to try to have some questions. And then, as well as your comments. So in chapter 11... I'm still thinking about, Paul talked about one of his dangers was false brethren. How would you define a false brother or sister in the church? And how did Paul go about labeling them as false? So our question will be, what really impressed you in that list, all that Paul endured as he followed Jesus, and he was the persecutor, and then he becomes the persecutor. So I'm looking forward to chapter 12. We'll think about Paul's thorn in the flesh. I'm anxious to hear your answers. You already know mine. But what's said, what isn't said about his thorn in the flesh, and other things in chapter 12. The last chapter, Paul intends to visit again, and then his closing comments. So, again, let me emphasize, if you can, read chapters 10 through 14. Won't take very long, but you might be surprised how it all goes to get. So, let me read the chapter, and then, as I promised, we'll give you time to read. So, and I already told Judy and Steve, you know, we'll start on this side for the comments. So if they have something, and then we'll go to the left. So. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, he really experienced a lot, but he still is concerned about Christ was meek and gentle. I want to be meek and gentle. Who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. In other words, there's a difference in his letters and his how he approached things in his presence. At least that was the charge. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. And in my research, a lot put emphasis in that verse on some. So, is that warranted or not? But keep in mind, some in Corinth didn't like Paul. Who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. We've already studied, he did live in this world, didn't he? He had a body. He lived in the flesh. But we continue our reading, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, I like it a little differently. For though we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. There can be a difference. We're living in this world, but what about our, remember, we're in a spiritual war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, worldly, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Isn't that what we did yesterday? You had a choice to make. If you haven't made it, you need to. You're either for creation or you're for evolution. What are you? Now, I think for some of us, the thought was we're a creationist. We're not an evolutionist. Is that in tune with how many people in our country think? But I like what's introduced in verse 4 and then verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Every thought. Now, he's already emphasized, I want to be like Christ. Christ was meek and gentle. I want to be meek and gentle, if I can. But don't forget, I do have authority. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ. Now, if he's dealing with some false brethren, are they claiming to be in Christ? So, if anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Now, hadn't we already studied if you're in Christ, what it means for old and new things, what we are? So, verse 8, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification. That's a big word, isn't it? What does that basically mean? You build up. We have a choice. Going to build up or tear down? And not for your destruction. I like that. If edification you build up, then destruction you tear down. I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say. Now, need to be very careful. They say. Might be true, might be wrong. Are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. He took a survey. A lot of people say Paul didn't look very handsome. And his speech contemptible. Now, looking ahead, one lesson, if you compared Paul with a Greek orator, that might be true. But he was a good speaker, and I'll share that with you. Do some research. What does the book really claim? Was Paul if he had to, was he very successful as a speaker? So might be surprised what you find. Verse 11, for such a person, consider this, that what we are in word by letters. Now remember, some said, oh, he's one Paul when he writes, but then when he's with us, he's another Paul. When we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. I can be bold and present as well as in letter, if that's what you want. Now remember, he's already said, I want to be more meek and gentle like Christ. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, everything okay? Are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. He's saying that includes you in Corinth. I have authority. I'm an apostle. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, good news of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope. And I still remember Jeff Thomas. Do you remember on Wednesday night how he defined hope, desire, and expectation? You hope to go to heaven. You desire to go to heaven. You expect to go to heaven. God's outlined what you need to do, hasn't he, to go to heaven. So, to preach the gospel, and verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishments. Paul wanted to go where? We've already studied. He wanted to go to Spain. It's interesting. I do not accept the detective work. You know, how many visits and how many letters. But I do accept the detective work. You know, was Paul released? Did he get to go to Spain? And when he was arrested again, did they release him or put him to death? So it's interesting. On one hand, I say no, and on the other hand, yes. So, but give some thought to that. The detective work. I like verse 17. And for he who glories, does it matter what you glory in? Let him glory in the Lord. And that's from Jeremiah. And so if we have time, we'll go to it. But not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord what? I want the Lord's commendation. Don't you? I want the Lord to approve of me. I want the Lord to accept me. Now, we could, you know, look at just one another. Oh boy, compared to you, I'm somebody. But compared to Christ, am I? We need, is Paul saying we need to be more concerned about what God thinks than what man.
Okay.
Going to be hard for me to do, but I'm going to try to shut up. And if you have anything about our chapter, or a comment, question, other verses you'd like to add, I have in my notes, you know, what I'm trying to remember about God and what I need to personally remember. So if there's time, I'll share that with you. Okay, let's go to the right. Okay. Jody, there was a hand in the back, one of the young ladies. So, well,
so I understand you're saying the interpretation is that he's talking about, you know, giving the glory to God. But what is he talking about other men's labors? When he talks about that in verse 15.
Mm-hmm. I think what we emphasized yesterday, first of all, would be an application of verse 5. There's a stronghold of evolution in our country. We want to bring that down. And I thought the speakers yesterday that we all were in agreement. Evolution is a theory of some scientists. A theory. If we're not careful, what do some scientists and the media say? It's a proven fact. Could there be a difference between a theory and a proven fact? Okay. I view in this part of the book, some didn't like Paul. You know, the sum and what they would say about him. And one of the thoughts was, oh, he's not an apostle. Don't pay any attention to what he writes or says in person. He's not. Just don't pay any attention to it. To me, that might be one thorn in the flesh. Someone comes along and says, well, don't pay any attention to Harry. That'd be a thorn in the flesh, wouldn't it? But we'll discuss that. That's one possibility. And okay. I hope I answered your question. Jody, did you want to say something? We let the young lady go first. And then now those of us a little older.
The 10th chapter, you're looking at Paul defending himself to some degree against those that would have criticized him in Corinth. Reminds me a lot of what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in heavenly places. The warfare we fight, although it is in the flesh, it is not of the flesh. A lot of this frustration Paul is experiencing is the work of the devil, bringing accusations against Paul to those who would not be believers. He also talks about in verse 16 of Ephesians 6, that with faith you can quench the fiery darts of those evil people. And so by what he's saying is basically his faith in God and him commending himself because of God's authority allows him to defray, if you will, the criticism that these people are waging against him.
Okay, we'll go to the left. Any of you, men or women?
I want to piggyback on what Brother Jody said.
Okay, go ahead, sister.
Because that was a verse that I was going to read, Brother Jody, over there in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. We don't war against flesh. If you don't mind, could I just read verse 3 and 4 again?
Sure.
For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power in destroying strongholds. I like to take scripture as apply it to my personal life, as you all already know. Well, before I became a Christian, I used to wage war. Someone come against me, they got me to handle. This before I start reading the Bible. This before I start reading the Bible and doing what the Lord said to do. But when I read that, I used to wage warfare in the flesh. Now, what do I mean by that? If you talk dirty to me, I got something for you. I can talk dirty to you. I can take vengeance. Don't talk to me any kind of way. Don't trick me any kind of way. And I'm going to tell you, that was the way I lived in my household and outside of my household. And it didn't work. It brought a lot more stress on me. But saints, I tell you the truth, when I started to read my Bible, and it says, for we don't fight, we don't wage war against others in our flesh, but give it to God. The vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And we don't fight against flesh and blood. When I actually start implementing that truth in my life and stop waging warfare with my mouth and with this. Oh yes, I used to be a fighter. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. But when I stop that and say, Lord, the battle is yours, I kid you not, saint, peace came into my home. In fact, one time I used to talk so much that I put some tape across my mouth to, I'm literally, this is not figuratively, to quit talking so much when my husband will enrage me, you know. Now, he's not the Christian, I'm the Christian now, so I got to act differently. I'm telling you, I used to put tape across my mouth just to keep from talking so much. And but that scripture, along with the scripture that Brother Jody just read in Ephesians 6:12, we do not wage war like the world do. And another one of my go-to scriptures is Romans, the 12th chapter, hallelujah, from verse 9 to 21, you overcome evil with good.
Brian, did you have your hand up?
I didn't, but
okay.
I did have
it. Okay, you didn't want to get tired. Okay, go ahead.
No, I think part of what he's getting at here, and I agree with all those thoughts, but I think he's almost pointing to the fact that as Christians, we're not at war with one another.
Amen.
We can do that. We can get in squabbles with one another. But I think he's trying to remind us that's not why we're here. And as brethren, we need to seek peace. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, you know, strive to maintain the bond of peace. That should be what drives us. I like the way the English Standard translates verse 5. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. That's what we're fighting against, is false teaching, against arguments, against ideas, false ideas. Those are the things that we're trying to war against, not one another. Anytime we make a fight or a disagreement personal with us, with one another, we're in the wrong. And we need to rethink what we're doing. Because it should never be personal. It should be about defending the truth and seeking the best resolution to bring peace in the body and teaching to those who are outside the body.
Anyone else to my left? I liked applying other verses. Or other, think how many letters Paul wrote. And then, which I accept, you know, Luke was either a doctor or he was very familiar with the medical profession of his day. We miss it in our English. But in Luke and Acts, he used a lot of medical terms, the author did. So we miss that in our English, but it's there. If you take Luke and Acts and Paul's writings, you have a lot of the New Testament, don't you? So, okay. My illustration is, you know, Jesus talked about slap you on one cheek. Slap in, and then my fists knock them down. No, is that what the meek and gentle Christ wanted? No, that would be my reaction. Okay, you slap me on the cheek, I'm going to knock you down. I don't like what you said about me, but anyway, excellent comment. I'm indebted to George DeHoff, and see if this is right, in chapters 10 through 13. The charges against Paul. Now, my emphasis is going to be by false teachers, false brethren. I've been thinking about that a lot, but that's what impressed me, what will impress you. There were some that said, oh, Paul's a coward. Was he? Others would say, oh, he's weak rather than strong. And really in personality. In his letter, he's one way, and then in presence, he's another way. No apostle should work with his own hand. Paul could be a tent maker, couldn't he? To support himself. No apostle would do that. Do you suppose they said, oh, he caused disturbances rather than peace? Among some brethren, he has a bad reputation. The illustration I've heard all my life, if Paul applied for a ministerial position in a local congregation, would he have been accepted or rejected based on our standards? That's interesting. God commends. That's what I want, and I'm sure that's what you want. I need to be careful what I say about you, even in a letter, don't I? And we've already noted we need to be careful what we say about one another. And that's why I'm giving it a lot of thought. A false teacher, a false brother, a false sister. Is that in next week's chapter? That was a danger in his life. False brethren. What does that mean? Now, someone says, oh, there's a lot of hypocrites down at Sanford. A lot of false brethren. Well, maybe. Wouldn't I would rather be with some of the hypocrites down at Sanford than all of them in hell. I still believe in heaven and hell. Wouldn't it be hell enough just to know, hey, I missed it. Did God send me to hell? Or did I send myself to hell? So I appreciate the comment. We need to be very careful. That includes me, what we say about one. That brother might be an Apollos. Just needs some more teaching, encouragement. Need to be very careful Now, Paul could do it. And I'm sure if he said, false, heaven said, false. But I need to be careful, don't I? I try to even be careful. I'm not going to call you a fool. Because in our society, that'd be rather insulting, wouldn't it? So, but the Bible talks, didn't God say, if you don't believe in me, you're a fool? And the authority of the apostles. Yes, Brian. Well, I was expecting you to be downstairs this morning, but good to have you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
I'll shut up.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the fool's comment because Jesus uses the term for hell 9 times, mm-hmm. far more than anybody else. One of the few, but still 9 is not a ton, right? But one of the few times he uses it is in saying how we talk to one another. He says, anyone who would call his brother Raka or fool mm-hmm. is in danger of hell. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fascinating that one of the times he uses it is in this conversation about how we talk to one another. Mm-hmm. Calling someone a name like fool is something that can put us in danger of going to the place we're all trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. And that fascinates me. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excellent. Jody. I can go back and forth.
Verse 12 is interesting because it talks about comparing yourself with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we can be guilty of saying, well, I'm better than so-and-so because I attend all the services, etc. And so it's, the scripture says, he that compares himself among himself is not wise. Mm-hmm. We need to be comparing ourselves, not against one another, but against what the scripture says. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want the commendation of men, we want the commendation of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, our attitude should be directed toward them. That our evaluation of ourselves is not based on how do I perceive myself in relationship to anybody else, but how do I perceive myself in relationship to what the scripture says. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have in my notes, on the one hand, Paul was saying, consider my apostleship. Consider my authority. But then, I like that comment. Didn't he turn around and say, compare yourself with Christ, not with others. The meek Christ, the gentle Christ. So, I want God's commendation. And I need to be very careful what I say about you. Whether it's in a letter, boy, that I put it in writing. Or, you know, in court, the lawyer makes a comment, and the judge says, strike it. Jury heard it, though, didn't they? And so I've been on juries, and the lawyer would, you know, he gave a figure, and my reaction was, oh, that's the amount of money he wants us to say needs to be given. How much of it's he going to get? As well as the one he's defending. Well, guess what, though? He didn't get a dime. Because unanimously we agreed that case's not worth really considering. We'll throw it out. So, I like that, though. Hey, I'm an apostle. Now, we're going to study. He had the signs of an apostle. What were they? We'll see if we can find the signs of an apostle. And Paul said, I could perform those signs at Corinth or anywhere in the world. So, anyone else? And the clock in the foyers, I couldn't see it yesterday, could I? Did you realize I still finished 2 minutes early for me? That was something. But did you notice that?
No.
That just gave Dwayne a little more time, didn't it? But, and he did a good job. Okay. Let's go to Jeremiah, and I'll close with this. And my Bible's beginning to come apart, and I had some difficulty yesterday, didn't I? But let's see, go back to Jeremiah chapter 9. And, okay, I'm Jeremiah 51, that's not going to help. Let's go to chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24. And when I read this, I think it's rather relevant for us today. So I'm back in chapter 8. That's not going to help. Okay. Verse 23 of Jeremiah 9. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Was that one of the thoughts yesterday? Some that our country says are wise, they glory in their wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. I still wonder, with all the might that Israel has and all the might that we have, are there still some hostages? So. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Now, I might say, according to the country we're privileged to live in, I'm poor. When we went to Ukraine, the thought was, don't take a picture of your house or car. Why? Because they think, oh, in America, we're rich. Well, we are, whether we want it or not. But nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Now, verse 24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. You understand God. You know God. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. I still believe that's what we need in our country. Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Now, I've already emphasized, and we'll close up again on that thought. I want to be commended by the Lord. If we're both believers in the Lord, I need to be very careful what I say or write about you. Good to have all of you this morning. Had a busy weekend, didn't we? Busy yesterday. And I had my one hot dog. And I had some chips. And a salad. And that brownie was good. Okay. We're looking forward. I wonder what's going to be on the potluck today. So. Okay, good to have you. Think about chapter 11, and if you can, read chapters 10 through 14.